everybody, we are tackling through this Wednesday. It's a very busy day, but this is a conversation I've been looking forward to presenting to MSD listeners for about the last week. I'm happy to introduce a new speculator in the resource space. Actually, he's not new to a lot of people on MinTwit, but he is new here on Mining Stock Daily. He's coming off a pretty good couple weeks, actually. We're going to dig into how he does his due diligence within the resource exploration equities. He's based out of Belgrade. His name is Vukušin Pekovic. Vuk, welcome to Mining Stock Daily. It's nice to have you on the pod.
Hi, Trevor. I'm really pleased to be here. I hope the audience is going to get some value.
Oh, I think they are. Listen, you and I had a chance to... We first met this fall in Frankfurt. In person. And I kind of got a glimpse of a little bit, you know, how you work your due diligence, the questions you ask, your approach to this sector. It was kind of fun to kind of watch you at work here. But I got to say, I think a lot of people watching these junior equity markets the last couple of weeks, your name keeps coming up because of the due diligence and you pounding the table with the likes of Awale, Regulus, and even Gold Source. That's the latest news here as of the last 24, 36 hours. So you're having a pretty good 2024, man. I guess first, congratulations. We don't all always come off as winners, especially the last 2 years.
No, thank you. But I did say on the 31st in 23 at the end of the year that I was expecting a pretty strong year. So the recent period is more of a, let's say, things just, I would say, maybe accidentally coming together, you know, catalysts just laying over each other. I don't think that, you know, it's also a stroke of luck, especially with the latest Awale haul. We got caught a bit by surprise. I did expect a strong headline, and I did expect a strong second news release, but, you know, nothing at that level. So there's an element of luck to everything, but, you know, in speculation and investing, you actually, you know, you reap the success of your work at least 12 months down the line after you do the due diligence and dig into stuff and, you know, place your bets.
Yeah. Vukušin, so give me a little bit of background here, how you got interested in these specific niche markets, given such volatility. I mean, you're a young guy, and so obviously you haven't been shaken out yet, given the last couple of years. No. But how'd you get into this?
Well, I'm 26. Well, the way I got into it was I just, you know, got sold on the let's say the macro theory that the world is basically changing from 2020 onwards. And I first got interested in finance while I was at university, and that's what I initially started learning on my own. And at one point after graduating, you know, I got a bachelor's in electrical engineering. And after graduating, I was like, okay, I'll go to graduate studies, but I kind of want to do business, right? And I had no idea how to do that. But one idea I had was, okay, can I try and get really good at one thing, right? Let's get good in a super niche sector. That's how I basically stumbled upon mining from two aspects. You know, one aspect is gold and gold miners, and the second aspect is this thinking, you know, let's get a super niche sector and get really good at it. So that's how that happened. I basically started, like, let's say officially 2.5 years ago or so. And, you know, it's been a pretty wild 24, 36 months, you know, however. Yeah, I mean, 36 months is 3 years, but, you know, about 2.5 years. I've been working for the Independent Speculator newsletter for Lobo Tigre for 2 years and some change. I started in late summer, early fall 2021. And, you know, my learning curve has literally been vertical. And, you know, it's pretty much the only thing I've done for the last 2 years. So that's how it all happened, you know.
Yeah. So you mentioned gold really being the foundation of going down this rabbit hole. And I think that's true for a lot of people who begin dabbling in exploration equities. But was it that micro thesis of the position of gold, the purpose of gold, the history of gold that really kind of started this all off?
Oh yeah, yeah, the typical gold buggery, although I was never fanatical about it, you know, like most people. Like most, you say, you know, quote unquote gold bugs. I just had the idea that bonds weren't going to work for 2020. And, you know, my first interest was, as I said, like, you know, finance in broad terms and just, you know, literally learning how the world works, right? And then, you know, one book led to another, one piece of content led to another, one PDF led to another, and, you know, here we are. But yes, you know, it was typical gold bugger in the beginning. And then it was gold miners, and then, you know, I just got hooked and, you know, here we are, I guess. You know, literally, you know, when I realized that, you know, the more I learned, the more I realized that I don't know. So that's you know, what led me down this path.
Yeah. So let's talk about how your approach to companies has changed since, you know, those early days a couple of years ago. You know, I guess your drive here, are you often looking for the most undervalued, most ignored, highly prospective land packages? Are you more are you more or less looking at the people behind companies that have had previous success? I mean, kind of what is that foundation of your due diligence when you decide, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to spend a couple hours here doing some research?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that you mentioned, you know, the workload in hours in the end, because you usually don't need like more than 10, 15 minutes to say no to a junior, right? But so the number one thing I pay attention to is the assets, obviously. I'm perfectly aware of how important people are, how important the capital structure is, how important, let's say, the paperwork is. But the number one thing to get interested is, you know, the underlying asset. If I had to put the whole, say, quote unquote strategy in conventional finance terms, I would say that I like special situations. And what that basically practically means is I you won't see me being, I could be bullish, but for example, I think Barrick is going to come out laughing out of this entire cycle. You know, I don't think Barrick is doing that badly, but I won't be buying any, say, conventional gold producers, right? Or even copper miners or anything of that sort. So I think that what one needs to work on in the sector is looking for alpha instead of just waiting for beta. You know, if you're looking for beta, you're basically a generalist, you know, being a tourist in the entire sector. But alpha is found in special situations and in things and assets that are misunderstood by the market. So that's basically my approach. And of course, naturally, that leads you to the smallest part of the sector, you know, and leads you to the nanocap space.
Yeah. What about jurisdiction here? I mean, is any jurisdiction off limits for you?
Panama, I guess. Those places that are definitely like not going to let you do anything, right? But I would say, you know, generally speaking, no. Maybe California as well, right? You know, Arizona, actually, I got kind of burnt. It's such a tiny position that of mine, for example, Gold 79 Mines, that's the name of the company, AUU is the ticker. So they have been waiting for like 2 years to get drilling permits in Arizona. So that's kind of, you know, outrageous. So I'm not crazy about Arizona either. But generally speaking, there's, you know, I wouldn't say no to any jurisdictions. And one slightly controversial take I have on the end of jurisdictions is that West Africa is like totally misunderstood. You know, not to get too spicy here, but a certain country's involvement usually means less terrorism there, and that means better security on the ground. And you know, the way I still am thinking about West Africa is that nobody there in the market, you know, on the finance side, has complained about the politics, actually, because whatever happened in those countries, you never had mining stop. And, you know, the mining just kept going. So the real problem there was, to my understanding, was and has been the physical security on the ground, right? So if you have, let's say, a trend of that, you know, improving, that's obviously what I see as a positive there. And I would say that West Africa is misunderstood, and that you know, it's being assigned as it's being blamed too much. That would be the whole point.
You mentioned looking for these quote unquote special situations, and those special situations don't necessarily happen in a vacuum. Each situation's a lot more special and different than the next one. You know, and so those, when those do arise, I mean, do they happen to come onto your desk more organically? I mean, are you kind of digging through the weeds here, looking for those, you know, looking for those news items here through the database on you know, CDAR or the news releases, public news releases, that type of thing? You know, how are you kind of looking for those? Because it seems like that's where you're beginning your research.
Yes, definitely. I mean, what I basically do, there's not much IQ in this, actually. It's pure brute force, where I just go through decks. I just go through a bunch of decks. And yeah, as I said, sometimes you don't need much to say no to a junior. Sometimes, like, you know, I got to a point where I look at a deck and I can tell, you know, whether or not somebody who made the deck actually cared. So that's what I you know, mostly do. And when I get say ideas, pitches, whatever, through my network, I always just download the deck and go through the deck on my own. So that would be the number one step, you know. And then, you know, if you see that there's something interesting there, you can get interested in the asset based on the, for maybe first on the news, some news release, new news release, and then the presentation. Then I go, you know, asking around about the people and, you know, all, everything else that you do in due diligence for a company.
Yeah. It's such an interesting time, I mean, because obviously you've gotten a lot of praise for a number of these calls. I mean, again, Awale, you're pounding the table for a number of months here.
Actually, over a year.
So, but, you know, it's one of those things that where, you know, this market's so volatile. This sector's so volatile. Obviously, you're having some good wins. The sector appears to be making the turn here. But what's what's been a loss? You know, what's one that you just got wrong?
Oh yeah, I actually have those public. Pretty much everything, every single one I got wrong, is, I think, public. And the two, you know, first examples I would bring up are one was Surge Copper, where I basically got the capex wrong. You know, that's what happened. That's what I posted as well. I assumed the wrong capex there, and the economics of that project are questionable, so to say. You know, that's their Berg project, right? Mm-hmm. And I obviously got that wrong going into the PEA, and I ended up with, if I remember well off the top of my head, it was like a 4-5% loss, something like that. It wasn't
that's
a huge
it?
Position.
5%?
Yeah.
That's no loss.
Because no. Look. So this is what I'm getting to, right? The whole point is, in my opinion, like, why do retail folks don't make money, right? First is their losses are too hard, right? And they have big drawdowns. So that's one thing. The second thing is, when they are right, if they are right, none of those positions on which they got correct, none of those positions are ever big enough, right? Mm-hmm. So what you actually need to do, most people need to do, in my opinion, and I'm not no financial advisor or whatever, but what needs to happen is everybody needs to own less stocks. And basically everybody needs to own less stocks and everybody needs to do more work. But I digress, sorry. Back to the point. One is Surge Copper. And, you know, of course, I had the privilege. I'm small and I could sell that in basically one business day. And that was, again, maybe it was even a 6% loss on the position. I'm sure somebody can dig up my post on Twitter, you know, regarding this. The second thing, I actually got greatly wrong, but lost no money there, is Valor Metals. And the way that company has been handling this, I would just characterize this as ridiculous. But what saved me there was I had a thesis in the beginning that was, okay, you know, the PGM asset in Brazil is not looking like a insanely good thing, but you know, the exploration method they were employing was working and it was growing. So I kind of, you know, thought, okay, this is working out and it's progressing. You know, it's going to get rewarded eventually, right? And if it doesn't get rewarded and if it all fails, they have the uranium asset that they're going to sell and we are going into uranium bull market, right? And that's more or less what happened, but in a much worse scenario where management offloaded the uranium asset before the recent surge to $100 per pound, right? So the timing was off. You know, they never published the metallurgy they said they would publish. And, you know, of course, the moment I gave up on the PGM asset and I was thinking about leaving it, but I was waiting for the uranium deal. And once I got the shares from the uranium deal, I basically ended up, I think, even in a slight profit. But overall, like the worst case scenario of my initial thesis materialized, like nothing worked. So that's one that I definitely got wrong, you know?
Yeah. You know, it was interesting as you were kind of talking. I was thinking back in my mind yesterday. I was taking a walk and listening to another podcast, and the host and the guest were talking about, the guest was another individual who was really involved in other financial assets, not mining or equities, and he was talking about. When you're right and people follow you and take your kind of ideas, like you know, you're very much praised. Like, thank you so much for helping me make this money, have these wins and these gains. But if those assets take a sudden turn and fall from grace and maybe even go negative, those same people that praised you before are the same people that will, you know, blame you for losing money. You know, why didn't you tell me? And I mean, that's a risk. You know, that's a risk when people like you and I, and there's a number of others are public about positions and the research that they're doing and sharing that out in the open on Mintwit or even, you know, amongst colleagues and friends, you know? And so I guess I don't take this for granted personally, because I know I'm guilty. I can be guilty of this sometimes talking to my own book a little bit, but, you know, that takes some responsibility. Like, you have to be a little bit responsible with what you're sharing. And so I guess I'm just kind of, you know, my question for you is, you know, how do you kind of handle that? You know, there's a lot of spotlight on you right now because of the recent success. But how are you balancing this position that you have, people watching, and, you know, the last thing you want to do is obviously let people lose money.
Yep. So the answer to that is twofold. The first part is I haven't had that issue because I actually just crossed like 3,000 followers on Twitter recently, you know? And, you know, I just didn't have that issue because if I post something, it's not going to get bought up. I can't pull markets. You know, it's, that's a silly idea. Even though I was kind of accused of doing that in some other stocks that are even bigger than whatever we generally invest in, right? Which is funny. But the second part of that answer, well, you know, Trevor, like the secret ingredient almost always is not caring. And, you know, when you get praised, when you get praised and when you get crapped on, it's more or less usually by the same people, right? And, you know, so the secret ingredient is not caring. And, you know, not much is going to change in my approach. And I don't see this, you know, what happened, let's say, in the last 2 weeks as anything that profound. Of course, like, you know, if we're talking only about the Wally and you look at the situation now, there's been like, I don't know, what the exact figure, maybe 35 million US of shareholder value created, right? since the first news release two weeks ago, actually last week, sorry. And that's all fine. But you know, the question is, what's the next thing? And the wallet is nowhere close to being done. I still think that it needs a further re-rate. I don't want to speedball like what would be the fair valuation now. You know, the market will say, but it's nowhere close to being done. Like that project is too huge. And there are still the 100% owned claims there as well. So there's much more work to be done. But at the same time, you know, the question is, what's the next thing? And that's the whole point, is just get to work on the next thing and don't care about the praise and don't care about somebody crapping on you online, because it's going to leave you nowhere, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Vikash, and I hope we can continue to have these conversations and maybe get a little bit more insight with what you're seeing in the market, you know, other positions, interesting ideas, story ideas that that you're seeing on your desk. But my final question for you, and we'll take a little bit of curveball here, but is our favorite Serbian NBA basketball player going to bring home another NBA title for my Denver Nuggets?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised. I don't follow sports that much, but I do. I have Jokic thrown my way on Twitter by the algorithm nonstop. And so I'm kind of forced to pay a bit of attention. Well, I wouldn't be surprised, you know. One controversial opinion I have about the NBA and sports in general, that sports and the NBA have never been better, like ever.
I absolutely agree.
And so, you know, especially so if you look at the Premier League, which I also don't really watch on a weekly level, but when I watch a game, like, it's insane. It's like a video game, right? Pretty much every single player is insane, right? So it's kind of the same way in NBA now. So it will be rough for Denver. I don't know if he does it, and like with a third MVP, right? It's really special. It's really special. He's probably the best European player ever, you know, together with Doncic or I'm not sure.
Well, and I will say, I mean, I'm not much of a basketball guy myself, but it was refreshing to see a team go back to the traditional roots of the game, actually play defense, play team ball.
Yeah.
I mean, that team could have had three All-Stars, not just Jokic, but it's nice to see a game rejuvenate. It's not just about personalities or individual players anymore. I mean, that Nuggets team is a complete team. So anyways, Vikash, thanks so much. It's a lot of fun to do this. We're going to do it again here as we move along the year. Congratulations again, and then we'll chat soon.
Thank you a lot, and I do hope to be back.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.